Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on the American Family Radio Network on this Monday, July the 8th, 2024. Thanks for listening. We always thank you for listening to AFR. Again, Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
We have got much to discuss today, which is a good thing because it's a talk show. And if we didn't, we would just play instrumental music, I guess, for the next hour, which is soothing sometimes.
Just to
do that.
Who doesn't like to be soothed?
Is that a verb?
Sure.
I guess it is, soothed. Just ED, yes. Right?
I was soothed by the smell of the spaghetti sauce my wife was cooking right in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Said I like just, a true Italian.
Just made that sentence up.
Yeah, that's good. Down the fly.
Use the verb in a sentence.
On the fly. All right, Fred, what's the first news story?
Yeah, Hurricane Beryl came ashore on Texas this morning around Brownsville, Galveston area. They've been hit hard. Came ashore as a Category 1. So we're still talking pretty high winds here, 90 miles an hour. And right now, one of the impacts is in Houston, Texas, where the rain up around, I guess, 6 o'clock this morning, they had already gotten 6 inches, and they're expecting another 7 inches in Houston, Texas. As some of the weather people were pointing out, you've got a lot of cement in the center part of that city. There's nowhere for the water to go but up. Thousands of people are without power right now. Now, it will subside in strength as this storm rolls along, and it'll become a tropical storm, a depression, et cetera, et cetera. And it'll move up towards this afternoon. Places like Tyler, Texas are going to feel the impact of this, but it'll become a more of a rain event versus a wind event. But this morning along the shore, along Galveston, 90-mile-an-hour winds, like I say, lots of power out, and so bad time for the folks on the coast.
Mm-hmm. And the this is an article on CNN, which I've been looking at since the debate a couple of weeks ago. I'm just kidding.
CNN?
Yeah, CNN. But this article is saying that the water level is so high, talking about in Houston, over 10 feet above its typical water level. That was just after 9 a.m. Part of the reason for it, this article is saying, is because of the high winds pushing so much seawater into that area. So it's not just the rain, but the surges that are helping to flood the area.
Yeah, low-lying area there. It's a bad day for the folks in Houston. And as you head north, like I say, Tyler, Texas, it's going to head up into parts of eastern Arkansas. Memphis, Tennessee is going to feel the impact of this later this week. But it'll be mostly a rain event by the time it hits those areas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at that. So it started out as a Category 5 hurricane out there in the Atlantic Ocean, and then it did have devastating effect on the island of Grenada, I think.
Yeah, Caymans, Jamaica. Hard hit.
Hard hit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
11 lives lost as it moved across that area of the Mediterranean.
Yeah,
and not Mediterranean.
But now flooding is the big thing.
Flooding is the big. It's packing a whole lot of water.
Yeah. All right. Next story.
Well, we have breaking news out of Washington at this hour. President Joe Biden has written a letter to Democrats in the House. It was released this morning and basically says, "I'm staying on. And let's cut out the party drama. It's got to end right now." Strongly worded, whether the president himself wrote it, probably not. But basically he's saying, we have 42 days to the Democratic convention and 119 days to the general election. He says in the letter, any weakening of resolve or lack of clarity about the task ahead only helps Trump and hurts us. It's time to come together, move forward as a unified party, and defeat Donald Trump, end quote. And he followed that letter up with apparently an interview with MSNBC's Morning Joe this morning, where he insisted that average Democrats want him to stay in the race and said he was frustrated by the calls from party officials for him to step down. Now, here's what he said. He says, those are big names, referring to those who think he should step down. Those are big names, but I don't care what those big names think.
Ooh. Now,
in an Associated Press story this morning, some of those big names include Gerald Nadler of New York. I think most people are familiar with him. Apparently, Adam Schiff and some others. But there's also people outside of the lawmakers, people like David Axelrod, former top advisor to Barack Obama. And I have to think, when you hear Axelrod saying it's time for him to Biden to go, that he probably has the blessing of his former boss, Barack Obama, in this. So if Joe Biden thinks a two-page letter to House Democrats is going to change things, I don't think it does.
All right. This is a mess. a mess of excuse me. If you're in Great Britain listening to this, this is a royal mess, okay, for the Democrats, which I'm not one. I'm going to come out right now and tell you. I know it's been a secret.
This is a shocking admission.
I don't vote Democrat. I can count on my hand the times in my life I voted Democrat, but it hadn't been for president. That's been a never.
Yeah.
But this is a royal mess, or as my wife would say, a hot mess. She often refers to our grandchildren as when they eat, the three-year-olds,
as a hot mess.
There's a couple of things going on here. One is Joe Biden is his own boss, and guess who he answers to? Nobody. Okay? Nobody. I would say you have a Jill and Joe co-presidency right now. Jill Biden, she doesn't want him to go anywhere. She would be the only one, it seems to me, that, and I'm outside looking in, just guessing, not knowing all the family or party dynamics or White House dynamics, but it seems to me, and I think most people would agree with me, she's probably the only one who could convince him it's time to step down. And all indications are, by her words and deeds, she wants to remain first lady, i.e. co-president, for the next 4 years. And she's not, to borrow from Joe Biden, he's not going anywhere. So, a couple of things here. I've heard people say, well, he's really the front man for a third term for Barack Obama. I might have believed that to be true one time, although I think his policies are to the left of Barack Obama. And we could go over that sometime. But I don't think Barack Obama controls Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't even have to take Barack Obama's phone call because Joe Biden is president, not Barack Obama. So number one is Barack Obama doesn't control Joe Biden, which is scary because nobody does. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You see my point?
Yeah.
I kind of almost wish Barack Obama did control Joe Biden. Again, I'm looking at it as a conservative. I don't really care if they fall apart.
Right.
Or I don't care because that'd be good for the country. But so who, quote, does control Joe Biden? I think it's evident now, guys, that Joe Biden and maybe whoever is the chief of staff at the White House, who I don't even know their name. Does anybody know who's the chief of staff?
The chief of staff, I'm getting that right now.
Yes,
is,
you do know.
Jeff Zients.
Jeff?
Yeah, good old Jeff.
Good old Jeff. He's basically running the show over there. Now, I've also said that, and I mean, I'm serious about that. Whoever's the chief of staff at the White House, basically, besides the Bidens, that's who tells you what's going on, because they've given him the authority to do so. Now, the other thing here is is that all these people, like some of the ones you've named, Fred, what's the old saying? If you're going to bring the king down, you better win.
Huh? Yeah, better not miss.
Better, if you're going to bring the king down, you better not miss.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're missing. And I don't know if Biden's inner circle is going to hold that against in some way. These other Democratic Party officials and big names, as Joe Biden called them, in the future, maybe not. He really doesn't have time or the ability to think vindictively, seems to me, too much. So that's where I see this. He's staying in.
Yeah.
He's staying in, despite the fact people have been predicting he's dropping out. Go ahead.
No, it seems like he is staying in. And here's the problem for the Democratic Party. Now, they went into full panic mode after that terrible debate performance by President Biden more than a week ago. And so they went into full panic mode. You have all these people coming out saying he needs to step down, providing fodder.
Yes.
For GOP ads.
Bingo.
Trump ads. And PAC ads as in the lead up to the general election, because you're going to have all these ads saying David Axelrod, you know, former advisor to President Obama, says Biden is no longer able to function.
Yes.
You know, he's all this talk about incompetence, about his mental acuity. He's got to go. That provides cannon fodder for the general election. And so that's part of the mess that has developed around this candidacy.
Well, to your point, I saw an ad on Fox this morning, a Trump ad this morning, and guess what? It was cuts from the debate. The Associated Press this morning is still referring to, quote, his dismal performance at the debate. And if the Democrats thought this interview with George Stephanopoulos on Friday on ABC was going to help, it did not. It did not help the situation. Here's a little bit from that 22-minute interview that George Stephanopoulos did with the president. Cut number one.
You came home from Europe about 11 or 12 days before the debate, spent 6 days in Camp David. Why wasn't that enough rest time, enough recovery time?
Because I was sick. I was feeling terrible.
50 million Americans watched that debate. It seemed to confirm fears they already had.
Well, look. After that debate, I did 10 major events in a row, including until 2 o'clock in the morning after that debate. I did events in North Carolina. I did events in Georgia. I did events like this today, large crowds, overwhelming response, no slipping. And so I just had a bad night. I don't know why.
Have you had the specific cognitive tests, and have you had a neurologist, a specialist, do an examination?
No, no one said I had to. No one said, they said, I'm good.
Do you have the mental and physical capacity to do it for another 4 years?
I believe so. I wouldn't be running if I didn't think I did. Look, I'm running again because I think I understand best what has to be done to take this nation to a completely new level. We're on our way.
But are you being honest with yourself as well about your ability to defeat Donald Trump right now?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I got to tell you, that may be the one issue that keeps Biden in the race above all others, and that is the hostility that he feels towards Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. The feeling is mutual.
The feeling is mutual. But what I'm saying is Biden, if people are going to try to convince him you can't beat Trump and he can't stand Trump, doesn't it just go to a person's soul when someone questions you can't defeat your worst political enemy?
Yeah.
And Biden thinks he can. Mm-hmm. And for him to step down is an admission. I don't have the right stuff to beat Donald Trump. Man, that's just going to grate on anybody's pride. And I think that might convince Joe Biden to stay in when nothing else can.
You know, the other thing that we're seeing, though, is, you know, the mainstream media protected Joe Biden now for the last 3.5 years.
Hypocritically.
Yes. So the debate happens. dismal performance, as the Associated Press says. But now Joe Biden does not have the mainstream media, the so-called legacy media, in his pocket anymore.
Right.
I mean, here we are almost 10 days since that debate. The Associated Press is still referring to the dismal performance. Now, what comes for this is that the mainstream media were hypocrites for protecting him all the way along.
When they knew he was suffering from mental decline.
Yeah. I just want to play you a little montage of how they were protecting Joe Biden right up to that debate. It's cut number four.
He's very lucid, very well informed. He speaks quietly and a little bit slowly, but, you know.
We've spent way too much time talking about this president's age. And I'll say it again. When Ronald Reagan was the oldest person to ever be in the White House and to run for re-election, I don't recall a lot of people within his own party talking about the fact that we need to get another person. He's too old.
He's totally focused. He's very sharp. And the proof is in the performance.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been. Intellectually, analytically.
One of the themes this election cycle is that Joe Biden is too old to lead. And so everyone is seizing upon this. And it is a classic disinformation tactic.
There's a growing and insidious trend in right-wing media, broadcast, print, and social media. It is to take highly misleading and selectively edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office.
One of those was Joe Scarborough,
yes,
of MSNBC. And he was the one who was saying he's cogent, he's as sharp as he's ever been. And he was saying that, I think, March or April, that interview that you heard right there.
Yep.
And then it was so funny because the day after the debate, he just looks like he's just pale white, like the life's been sucked out of him. Joe Scarborough goes, who are we going to, basically, he goes, that was awful. Who are we going to get? We got to replace him,
yep.
You know? So, yeah. Listen, in hindsight, the Biden team would have done better not to ever have a debate.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because that was so damaging. I don't think he's not whether he loses or wins in November, I don't know, remains to be seen, but he's not recovering.
No.
There's not going to be anybody coming back saying now, well, look how he's back now. He had a bad night, but he's back now. Look at him rolling.
Well, and now, so the debate in September, the only other presidential debate.
You got to cancel that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? If you cancel it, that only solidifies people's perception.
That's true.
That he's not able to do it.
That's true.
But if you allow him to debate that close to the election, and he has another performance like that.
Yeah, but I think he needs to. Now, in just thinking about it on the fly here, I think he needs to do it because there's nowhere to go but up.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because if he could somehow manage a respectable showing in a second debate, then the narrative would become, well, he just had a bad night.
He did have a bad night. That's what they'll say.
Yeah, so I would do it again. Couldn't hurt you.
You're right. It'd be hard to sink lower than your own part, members of your own party, suggesting that we get rid of the guy.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, have we heard from Vice President Kamala Harris on this?
Publicly, she still supports the president. But a lot of people are talking about, you know, the next story down these days is, okay, what happens if Joe Biden decides, okay, I'm out of here. I don't have the support of the party. Mm-hmm. Then Kamala Harris, her name pops up. And then it pops back down. I wanted to play you a little montage of and give you, let's go back and down memory lane over the last 3.5 years, and some of the
It'd
best.
It'd be nice to have a salad.
The best
this time of day.
Yes,
a word salad.
The best of Kamala Harris. Here we go. Cut number five.
There are, you know, people of every age and gender, by the way, who see something about being the first that lets them know they don't need to be limited by other people's limited understanding of who can do what.
AI is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters. It means artificial intelligence. But ultimately what it is it's about machine learning. And so the machine is taught.
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because, you know, it comes in the morning.
I'm just going to tell you.
Wow.
When I was growing up and I was a teenager and I would try to convince my dad about, you know, borrowing the car for Saturday night, and, you know, he'd start to ask me questions about what I'm going to do, and I'm trying to do a sufficiently good job to convince him, tossing in everything but the kitchen sink, my dad would sometimes look at me and he would say, "That's the biggest bunch of nothing I ever heard. No, you can't go. Okay, just end it." And that's what I feel like when I listen to Kamala Harris. Here's the Democratic Party is in such big trouble, because let's say Joe Biden, before the election, whether it's before the convention or not, or before the just before the general election, and Joe Biden steps down. He says, "I'm not going to run for re-election."
Yep.
Well, it's still 6 months before inauguration of the new president.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remain in office, Mr. Incompetent? Mr. I don't have the mental faculties to run a campaign and win re-election? Then what are you doing going to stay in the White House?
Yeah.
So then does Joe Biden resign from the White House? If not, he's essentially saying, "I'm not good enough to win re-election, but I'm going to still have my finger on the nuclear button."
Yeah. Well, and if he does step down from the office immediately, that's who's coming in.
That's right.
And, I mean, does she excite the voters of the United States of America?
I tell you what, guys, you know, this is still a 50-50 country. And the race in November, this is me talking here, not speaking for even you guys, but it's going to be still razor thin. I mean, people may say, "You're kidding me." Even after Biden's dismal performance and people know he's brain, you know, I wouldn't say brain dead, but I mean, he's brain compromised. should I say that? Because of his age and the
brain challenged.
Still, Democrats are going to vote Democrat, and they're not going to vote for Trump just because Biden's can't talk, you know, coherently.
They may stay home. But I'll tell you something else. If the Democrats succeed in pushing Joe Biden out, almost anybody they put in, maybe with the exception of Kamala Harris, almost anybody they put in is probably going to reinvigorate the Democratic vote, like you said.
Yeah.
And it will be still razor thin outcome.
Yeah, because I was looking at the polling from this morning. This is from Saturday polling. I follow Real Clear Politics, and this is just one poll. Okay, this is Bloomberg, MM Consult, whatever that is. Anyway, they did a poll of the various states, and they show Biden up 47-44 in Wisconsin. Biden up 48-43 in Michigan. Now, Trump's ahead in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Trump's ahead in North Carolina. Trump's ahead in Georgia, 47-46. I'm just saying this is still going to be very, very close election, because we've had close elections, sometimes razor thin, since Bush versus Hanging Chad's Gore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yep. 2000.
And that's where our country's been divided. So I would just say, in my view, this ain't over yet.
Okay? Right.
We got quite a ways to go. We'll be back momentarily.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim, Ed, and Fred. If you missed the last 15 or 20 minutes, it's your loss, because we pretty well covered national politics and presidential politics.
And we were profound.
Profound, thorough.
Inspiring,
and,
maybe.
And while Kamala Harris, the vice president, brings the word salads.
Yes. We bring the dressing.
We're Arby's. No, we're Arby's.
We bring the meat.
We bring the meats. Don't they say we got
we
the meat?
We have the meats.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. We have the meats. Don't they say meats?
Yes.
Yeah. Then they show these big, juicy sandwiches.
Yeah. Looks just like what you buy when you go there.
No food. No food on TV ever looks like what you get in the restaurant, I'm sorry to say. But anyway, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Well, we have in studio with us a good friend of the ministry, Brother Charlie Wysong from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you again,
thank
brother.
You,
and Charlie came and shared with our staff this morning at Devotion, and we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments Project and whatever else God may lay on your heart here, Charlie, going for the next few minutes. Now, you live in Chattanooga, and we have a new radio. Well, I say new. We've been on the air a couple of years there.
Yeah. Tim, there's a man in Tennessee. He's probably listening right now, and he and I have gone to church together, and we've been involved in some political things, and he came running to me at church one day. He says, I just found this radio station. He said, it's great.
Finally, I can listen where crazy Christians talk, like me.
That's right.
I'm just kidding about the crazy, but I mean, it is nice when to have a radio station, we get this all the time, of people who are like-minded.
That's right.
You know.
Exactly right. It's encouraging.
Amen.
It's encouraging. You find somebody that's not only thinks like you,
yeah,
but has the opportunity to get their voice out into the community.
Amen. Right. We've had a great response from our new listening family. I say new in Chattanooga. I'm guessing 3 years or something like that. We've been on the air in Chattanooga. Charlie, tell us why are you in Tupelo?
Why am I in Tupelo? I spoke at two churches yesterday, and then I was here for the devotions this morning. And really what I'm trying to do, Tim, is I'm trying to promote a knowledge of the Ten Commandments in this country. Not so much, but maybe not those that are outside the church, but those that are inside the church. I go to churches, and I'll ask them, I'd like you to write out the Ten Commandments. They don't have to be in order. They don't have to be word for word, and not even 1%.
What?
Not even 1%. And that includes.
You don't even have to do it in order, not word for word, and they still.
Right. I mean, that's just. I worded the test so people wouldn't freeze up and say, oh, I don't know them in order.
I
don't know them for word for word. I mean, that includes the pastor. And so this one pastor.
You don't put him on the spot or do you? You don't get up in the pulpit and say, all right, pastor, come up here. We're about to do a test. You don't do that to him, do you?
Well, no.
Okay.
No, we'll do that.
Okay, but so, maybe you should, but yeah. You don't.
But
you're a little more gracious.
But okay, I did ahead. Do this. There's a man in Chattanooga, and his life verse is Proverbs 22:1.
Yeah.
A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Mm-hmm. And he is a man of international reputation and influence.
Right.
And we went to lunch. I took him to lunch, and I said, our nation is being destroyed before our very eyes. And he agreed with me. And I said, let me show you why.
Mm-hmm.
And I shoved a blank sheet of paper across the table to him.
Right.
And I said, I'd like you to write out the Ten Commandments.
Right.
They don't have to be in order. They don't have to be word for word.
He couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah. So you're saying the church doesn't know the Ten Commandments.
The church doesn't know the Ten Commandments.
And Christian homes oftentimes don't.
Right. And see, let me give an example back into history. You got King David, and he's committed adultery with Bathsheba. He has had her husband murdered. And now almost a year goes by, and Nathan goes to him and says, you're the man. Mm-hmm. That would never have happened if David had been going down the Ten Commandments and saying, did I take God's name in vain today?
Mm-hmm.
Did I keep the Sabbath day? Did I honor my parents? Did I kill? Did I commit adultery?
Well, also in light of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. it goes beyond, for the Christian, it goes beyond the literal, no, I didn't murder anybody today, but do I have hate in my heart?
Yes.
Right. So it is the Ten Commandments, but it's also what Jesus expounded on.
Absolutely.
In terms of evaluating our own lives on a daily basis. Let me ask you this question then. The Ten Commandments, what do you say if somebody says, Charlie, that's Old Testament, man. That's for the Jews.
Yeah.
The children of Israel back in the day, and it's good historical reading, but that's not applicable to us today. What would you say to that?
Right. Well, Paul said in Romans 7:7, he said, I had not known sin but by the law. I had not known lust except the commandment had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, I had a man take me to a Bible study. He was a lawyer there in Chattanooga. And he introduced me, and he said, Charlie's done a lot of work with the Ten Commandments. And I'm telling you, this guy is just looking for a fight. And he turns to me and says, well, we're not under law, we're under grace. Well, first of all, that's not the whole verse.
I say that to the highway patrolman.
Go what?
But it didn't work. I said that to the highway patrolman.
Oh.
I said, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. He said, I don't care, you're going 82. You're still getting a ticket. You can take up your grace with the judge. Just kidding. Go ahead.
And God does the same thing to us.
Right.
We keep on. So here's what I said to the man. And I'd say this is probably the best response to an issue like this I've ever had. And I'm not usually quick on my feet like this, but I said, well, brother, I said, you show me a man that lies and commits adultery and takes God's name in vain. I said, I'll show you a man is not walking in fellowship with God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Hebrews, he says, if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons? Mm-hmm. If you're not being disciplined for your sins, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And God didn't save me. In fact, I'd say this: the great experience of my life was this, that I did not sin like I used to. I was free from sins that I had a hold on me.
Talking to Charlie Wysong in studio with us. He's visiting Tupelo today from Chattanooga. And you're listening to American Family Radio. And how old are you now? What age are you?
I'm 83 now.
83, man.
And I have 15 children, 11 boys and 4 girls. No adoptions and no twins, and 53 expecting 54 grandchildren.
That sounds like the Old Testament. Doesn't it to you guys?
It does.
Hey, I wanted to just quote just a passage from the New Testament. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the holy and irreligious. And there's another, the list continues, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine.
Where are you reading from?
This is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. It seems clear to me that, Charlie, one of the things you have purposed to do in your heart is to get the Ten Commandments out into our culture back again,
yes,
including our churches, but also into our culture, putting it on your front lawn and all those kinds of bumper stickers, all those kind of things. And what Paul seems to be saying here is that God uses the law, including the Ten Commandments, to convict people of sin. Even Christians could be convicted, yes, of those kind of things. Like Tim said, Jesus expands that kind of penetrating glare and gaze of God into the heart,
yes,
where anger, for example, and hatred is the same as murder. But I find this to be a very worthwhile project. And we might say, I am in full agreement, when you slid that empty blank piece of paper and mm-hmm. said, this is what is is ruining our country.
Yeah.
People don't know the Ten Commandments. They were removed from classrooms because of a 1980 Supreme Court ruling.
Yes.
Why do you think it's important for the Ten Commandments to get out in public?
Well, first of all, what we're losing in this country is we're losing the common moral code that we've had for years.
Yes.
That we inherited.
Yes.
And when you lose that common moral code, then it's every man doing that which is right in his own eyes.
Right.
And we're back to the book of Judges.
Yes.
And
you'll have a collapse.
And what?
You will eventually have a collapse.
That's right.
I don't care how rich you are.
That's
or whatever. You, excuse me for interrupting, but if you lose what you're talking about, mm-hmm. if we completely lose our moral fabric mm-hmm. in our society, and we're, you know, those of us standing up for God's moral values today are under siege. It's reversed from the the era even you grew up in.
Yes.
Which would have been the 1890s. Oh, my bad. Oh, anyway, sorry, Charlie.
Math is not his
sorry,
subject,
sorry for the
Charlie.
Old people joke, man. Sorry. Anyway, no. Well, what I'm talking about, and we've talked about this before, you know, if you look back, listen, people, the United States of America, 100 years from now, we could be going, you know, they could be reading history books about us
right.
somewhere mm-hmm. else in the world going, whatever happened to that great nation?
Yeah.
Well, whatever happened to that great nation is they forgot where they forgot the blessings of God and the God of their fathers, and they mocked and ridiculed and scoffed at the things of God, which we're seeing going on in not only in popular culture, but even some people on the conservative side. Now I listen to these conservative commentators sometimes, and I go, why are you cursing like that publicly, man? No, nobody wants to listen to that
right.
stuff. And I'm just saying that, but if we lose the moral the common moral fabric of
yes.
our country, eventually you collapse.
You
it
collapse.
May take time, but eventually, and now, or God may bring a cataclysmic. Did I get that word right?
Yeah,
I was trying not to do a Kamala Harris here, but a cataclysmic. God may bring a cataclysmic event to a black swan. Or whatever they say,
Black Swan event
that shocks our nation. It says, "Wait a minute, you're not too big to fail."
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Now the world may not see that as God's judgment, but we Christians know we can see with spiritual eyes what's happening in our country right now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I don't mean to.
Well, I think we ought to see enough right now to realize we've got to come back to God's law.
And if we don't,
right,
there's trouble ahead.
There's trouble ahead.
Serious trouble ahead.
I think there's signs of encouragement, though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what just happened in Louisiana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, could I say something that's maybe not related to the religious?
Hmm.
What about Bud Light? What about Bud Light? They put up this homosexual to mm-hmm. be the spokesman for them.
Transgender person, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And something is going on.
Yes.
The comment, I mean, I don't
buy it anymore.
I don't go to church with anybody that is.
What? Huh? I'm not Baptist. Can't I drink a beer once in a while yet without being judged?
I'm not judging you. I know for a fact you don't buy.
I don't drink beer.
You don't drink beer.
My dad told me when I was 16, when I tried beer, he said he knew I'd tried beer.
Yeah. That's, dads are pretty smart.
Usually teenage boys figure them out.
Yeah.
He said, I shouldn't say. He said, what's it taste like? Anyway, yeah. I won't go any further on that. Yeah. But anyway, where were we? Well, but, I was just saying that I don't drink beer.
But Charlie was talking about Bud Light and what the response to that indicated.
Right. Yeah. But there is an underlying moral consensus that sodomy is wrong.
Yes.
And they don't like it. There's some other things that have happened. I think the response, and I praise God for AFA leading the charge on this, was Target.
Yeah.
Target.
Well, look what Tractor Supply just did.
Yeah.
We're going to have a story on that next half hour. Tractor Supply, to their credit, they just did a 180.
Yes.
They were headed down the woke
pathway.
And they came out with a statement, and they said, it was a statement of repentance.
Yeah.
And we're Tractor Supply Company, which is great news. We're going to talk about that after that. Charlie, would you point anybody to any particular website, or are you just here to generally encourage
Well, I've got
an
embryonic website up there called 10 Laws.
I've never heard of one of those.
Yeah.
Embryonic website.
Well, it's...
Is that legal?
Okay.
Go ahead.
But...
It's a new one.
It's a new website.
What is it?
But it's 10laws.us.
Okay.
10laws.us.
10laws.us. Talking to Charlie Weissong from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And you got... I think people are still in shock for what you said. Well, you and your wife,
15 children.
Yeah. What's her name?
But
your wife,
Brenda.
She had a big part in this.
She did have a.
So, well, you and Brenda.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Not only do we have 15, we homeschool all of them, and I delivered 10 of them at home.
Wow.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're a midwife too.
Yeah. Sure.
You're becoming, since I met you this morning, you're becoming a heroic figure to me.
Yeah.
You delivered 10 children at home.
Right.
So, and.
But I will say this. I don't want to, I did deliver 2 or 3 all by myself, and it wasn't by choice. It just happened.
Happened, yeah. That happens.
But we had a midwife, but anyway.
I have.
She didn't show up.
Of course, I'm 60. I'm 61. You're 83. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm, 83.
You have how many grandchildren?
53.
And you said this morning in devotions that you split wood
for
your fireplace
at
83.
I find it a very relaxing exercise.
All right, I'm going to slide you a piece of paper.
All right.
And I want you to write your 53 grandchildren's names. And I don't want you to leave in their middle names.
And they got
to
be in order.
Now, you're not kidding. I know you're not, but still stunning to hear somebody has 53 grandchildren.
At some point,
you got to say, we're not coming to no more birthday parties. Okay? We've done that. I'll come to one birthday party
for all of
grandchildren, but after that, I'll go broke. Anyway.
You know, I do pray for my grandchildren so I can name them all.
Good for you, brother.
Amen. But my wife and I will sit there, and she will pray for this family, and I'll pray for the next family, and we'll go back and forth like that. Mm. But she prays for the in-laws. God gave me a great wife.
I'm about to have number 11. I just don't even feel like I'm a man here next to you. But I'm here thinking, I tell people, we're about to have number 11. Walker and Lexi are going to have a baby girl. First girl. They had 4 boys, and now God's going to give them a girl in October. And that poor girl's never going to get a date. Well, I see she got 4 brothers older than her, but I was thinking about how. I don't know what I was thinking about. I had a Joe Biden moment there.
About not being able to remember names.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I'm praying at night. I'll start listing off, saying, Then I get to God bless number eight. you know who they are, Lord, and what their needs are. But it's just sometimes it's hard to remember everything.
So
but,
we had a man in down in Chickamauga, which is right outside Chattanooga, and he was a mechanic. He only called my children by numbers. Well, one day he died, and they wanted to use one of my sons as a pallbearer, and they called up and they said, what's number four's real name?
Chicka what?
Chickamauga.
Chickamauga?
Yeah.
Well, we ain't got nothing on Tennessee as far as names of towns.
I will say, going back to things Chickamauga that were encouraging, the state of Tennessee has set aside the day of July for a day of prayer and fast, or a month of prayer and fasting.
Mm. Right.
South Korea heard about it. They got so excited about it that they're going to start praying for Tennessee.
Wow.
Praise God.
A lot of Christians in South Korea.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Brother Charlie.
Thank you.
Being in Tupelo, visit with us, and sharing your story. There's so much more to Charlie's ministry. We didn't get into the pro-life issue, but we just want to, yes.
Before we cut him loose here, at that website that you talked about, it's in embryonic form, but you can't go to it.
Yeah.
There are signs to put in your yard with the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And they can get those at that website.
Where? Right. What's the website again?
Well, this took me to 1millionyardsigns.com.
Right.
When I typed in what you said. So which one do they go to?
Go to 10laws.us.
10laws.us.
It'll take you to that.
Okay.
And that brings up a good point. What we're trying to do is put out 1 million yard signs before this election takes place of the Ten Commandments, and let God know we're not ashamed of his law, that we're sorry we've forgotten his law.
Look what the state of Louisiana just did.
Right.
They just passed a law in their legislature and signed by the governor where the Ten Commandments will now be on display in all public schools.
Yes. Yep.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
I mean, that's pretty impressive right there. And other states may soon follow. Thank you, Charlie, for coming by, my friend.
Thank you, Tim.
Charlie Wysong joining us. He drove is it 5 hours from Tupelo to Chattanooga?
Uh-huh. Four to five.
By the way, Chattanooga is one of the prettiest cities in America, and I've traveled all over the country with the Tennessee River flowing through there, and you got Lookout Mountain, and you got where is it they go to whitewater rafting up there?
You don't do a lot of that.
Ocoee River,
and they also have they have a Dollar General,
right? Got a few of those.
If you don't have a Dollar General, it ain't moving there.
We got one on either side of our house.
Anyway, Chattanooga, very pretty city in America. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, we got about 5 minutes left on this segment. What do you got next for us?
Well, as we kind of already talked about, the media is a big part of the story, the Joe Biden story right now. And there was a story over the weekend. There was a talk show host, Andrea Lawful Sanders. She works at a radio station in Philadelphia, WURD. And she landed an interview with the president. But the big story is she doesn't have a job today. And the reason she didn't have a job today, the White House emailed the questions that they wanted her to ask the president. And she took those questions. And admitted it. This is what she had to say, cut number 10.
The questions were sent to me for approval. I approved them.
Okay, so the White House sent the questions to you ahead of the interview?
Yes. Okay. I got several questions, eight of them, and the four that were chosen were the ones that I approved.
Well, there you have it. Yeah.
She lost her job?
She lost her job, exactly.
Why?
Well, it kind of affects your credibility. You're interviewing a politician.
Excuse me, but I don't mean to insult the lady. I don't even know her. If she's on radio confessing to this, she's not very bright. Because is she on there She on there, and then did she lose her job subsequent to?
Subsequent to.
The interview that I just heard?
Yes.
I don't know what to say about
she
that.
She admitted, I'm not sure the total sequence, but she admitted that she took the questions from the White House and she used those questions.
Okay. Now, so you got Joe Biden doing an interview on a Philadelphia radio station.
Yes.
Sound like to me she's a black lady.
Yes.
So it's probably a predominantly black radio station listenership because he's trying to Joe Biden panders just huh?
Yes.
Joe, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Remember that one?
That was 2020.
Yeah. So he's trying to pander.
Yes.
And so the White House, I don't blame the White House press, whoever handles Biden for submitting questions. If my candidate was in as bad a shape as Biden is cognitively, I'd be handing them questions too, hoping that they used them. she's saying, yes, I used them.
Yeah. But the station manager basically, in a statement they released, it has said it affects our credibility.
Sure.
As a radio station, when the news gets out there that we just took the questions from the White House and we abided by their wishes.
Right. You're just a mouthpiece for the White House.
Well, and that's what the CEO said. He said WURD Radio is not a mouthpiece for the Biden or any other administration.
Right.
Trying to restore the credibility.
But good for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for them. Sorry the lady lost her job, but next time don't go on national television and say, I did something dumb. But I want to, huh?
Right.
All right, so we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.